This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Borges Injury Prevention Coordinator Megan Goes on helping young drivers be better prepared for the road. But first, Western Michigan University opened the Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine this past fall. Part of the reason that university officials said they wanted to open a new med school in Kalamazoo was to help address a coming shortage of physicians in the state. A new report from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan looks at that projected shortage of doctors and asks, where are the primary care doctors? Nicole Bradshaw is a research associate with the Citizens Research Council. Nicole Bradshaw, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why exactly focus on primary care doctors? What's crucial about this particular group of physicians?
Primary care is very important for several reasons. First of all, they're primarily the first point of contact for patient care. And this is true especially with the expansion of insurance through the Affordable Care Act, the extension of Medicaid that Michigan went ahead and implemented, because a lot of these new health plans require that for non-emergency medical care, that patients must see a primary care physician. Primary care physicians also take continuing responsibility for providing and coordinating the patient's care through their whole medical treatment. They're associated with lower mortality rates, improved overall population health. They're very important to a low-cost, well-executed, high-quality healthcare system.
So if we take a look around the state right now, what is the status of primary care in Michigan? Is there a shortage now, or is there one coming in the near future?
If you look at the state as a whole, we're not that much different than the rest of the country. Our share of primary care physicians relative to specialists is about the same as the rest of the country. Because we have started a lot of new medical schools over the last several years, we actually have a higher rate of growth of new primary care physicians entering the field. But what we did was we wanted to drill down and look at this data a little bit further, because we've all heard that there are national and statewide shortages. So is this true for the state of Michigan, and what does this look like, and are all communities affected equally? So we went ahead and did that at a community level to some degree and play in a county-by-county level.
Broadly speaking, can we say that there are things that areas of the state which are facing a worse shortage than other areas have in common? In other words, you know, are there certain demographics for a county in the state which is facing some sort of a shortage in the coming years or facing one right now?
Certainly, and there's different ways to characterize shortages. So if we're looking at, say, just assuming that the population characteristics are the same everywhere in the state, and we say that every county requires the same number of physicians per share of the population, then the northern half of the Lower Peninsula has significant shortages, especially when you dig into different fields within primary care. So whether we're talking about family medicine or obstetrics and gynecology or internal medicine, significant shortages in the northern half of the Lower Peninsula. Then if we go ahead and look at other things like underserved communities, rural communities, other population characteristics, such as poverty, high poverty, Wayne County, specifically the city of Detroit, has significant federally designated shortage areas. Other significant shortage areas are Van Buren County. They have several facilities that have been identified by the federal government as serving underserved communities, and therefore they are designated as shortage areas.
And it's interesting, there is a map in this report which shows the counties which have the greatest number of physician shortages. That's the way it's termed there. Now, that includes Wayne, which is where the city of Detroit is, the largest population center in the state. Then there's, as you mentioned, Van Buren County out here on the coast of Lake Michigan. Montcalm is in there, which is sort of in the center of the state. And then Chippewa County, which is in the Upper Peninsula. And I think anyone who has been to all four of those places would tell you they're all very different areas of the state. So are there different factors which are contributing to the shortage of physicians in different parts of Michigan?
Certainly. As I mentioned, in Wayne County in the city of Detroit, poverty is a huge issue. And then these specific counties that you mentioned have high numbers of the federally designated shortage areas. So Chippewa, Montcalm, Van Buren counties have a lot of facilities that have been designated by the federal government as caring for a high number of underserved patients, which means that they are eligible for more grants from the federal government for various reasons. So in some of these communities, it's because they have a large number of tribal population. It might be because they have a correctional facility. That's true in a couple of these. There's a variety of factors that the federal government takes into consideration in making these identifications that vary from certain medical conditions to poverty rates that really are conditions that, despite the urban versus rural contrast of these four counties and the location within the state, are common factors among the population.
Now, you noted there are some different ways that you categorize physician numbers, physician shortages in the state. Why did you think it was necessary to break them down in different ways? You know, there's that one federal number. There's some other different ways of looking at this. Why did you think it was important to kind of take several different views of physician shortages in Michigan?
The federal numbers give us sort of one picture, as you mentioned, of how we would look at the shortage areas. But they don't really give us a good feeling for how we can look at the differences in different parts of the state because they use so many different criteria. They also don't let us know specifically, I mean, those are primary care shortage areas, but we were able to come up with data that helped us look at, well, what types of primary care physicians are actually lacking in these areas, because there's many different types of fields that fall under this broad category of primary care. So by taking one simple measure of physician to population ratio, we're able to do that at a county level for general and family physicians, internal medicine, pediatricians, general surgeons, obstetrics and gynecology, and psychiatry. And this gave us a different insight. And just as an example of what we found is, as you mentioned, Wayne County has the highest number of federally designated shortage areas. But by this other measure we used, actually, Wayne County was within or above the ideal ratio, physician to population ratio, for all the different fields we looked at. And so what this tells us is that on a county level, Wayne County has a sufficient number of physicians, but they're just not in the locations where they're needed. Another interesting finding in comparing the two is that Cass County, they had a significant number of federally designated shortage areas, but based on this other criteria of the countywide physician to population ratio, they actually were below this ideal range that we identified for every single field that we looked at. And you wouldn't know that by only looking at the federal designations.
Cass County was one of four in the state that you found fell below the recommended ranges in all primary care physicians. Would one conclude from that that those four counties face perhaps a larger problem than the other 79 in the state?
That's very possible. And again, there's a complex reason for all these shortages. Cass County, if you look at the entire region of Kalamazoo that includes Van Buren County and St. Joseph and Cass and this whole prosperity region, most of those counties actually have sufficient numbers or even more than they need of this physician to population ratio. So while the actual county of Cass has clearly a shortage, it's not as severe maybe as some other areas, because while someone living in the middle of the county might have to drive slightly outside the county to find a physician with a shorter wait time, for example, that's much better than in some places in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula, where there's large continuous blocks of counties where there's insufficient numbers of physicians. So it definitely depends on where you live in the county, what types of physicians you need to see, and just the property of the physicians and what types of new patients they're willing to accept that impact access to primary care.
You mentioned at the beginning that part of the reason primary care is so important is that under the Affordable Care Act expansion of Medicaid, more people are coming into, I guess you would call it the healthcare marketplace, or should be, and that the first place they're supposed to stop is a primary care physician. At the same time, are there things in the Affordable Care Act which can help address the problem of shortages of primary care doctors?
Certainly. That's not the main purpose of the Affordable Care Act, but they do certainly address it. One of the things that they do is they have a strong push toward medical homes or these health homes. And what these do is that they try to, in a way, decrease demand for primary care by making healthcare a little bit more efficient. So what these homes do is they emphasize team-based care. So a physician-headed team that works with nurse practitioners and it works with physician's assistants and other healthcare personnel to provide service to patients. And this tends to be more efficient in terms of the number of patients that doctors can see. There's a high quality satisfaction by patients who are engaged in this team-based care, and it's also quite cost-effective, and in that way might help alleviate some of the concerns from the primary care physicians who do make less money than specialty physicians, which is preventing some medical students from entering the field.
The Affordable Care Act, of course, is at the federal level, although the expansion of Medicaid is made by the states. But what are other options that policymakers have, particularly in Michigan, if they want to find a way to perhaps take the right number of physicians, but get them more spread out and get them into these areas where currently there are not enough doctors?
As we talked about, there's a lot of new medical schools going up in the state in the last several years, and that's a great tool that has been utilized by the state and by universities, in that medical students are more likely to practice near where they go to school. And similarly, with the teaching hospitals, residents are more likely to practice near where they do their residency, within 100 miles or so. So by encouraging this expansion of medical schools is certainly helpful, but also making sure they're strategically placed. And maybe not opening new medical schools, but maybe encouraging satellite campuses in some of the rural areas that are in high need for primary care physicians would certainly go a long way.
Are there enough residency slots out there to keep enough doctors in Michigan? And are those residency slots in areas where future physicians may be encouraged to set up a practice later?
Slots are an interesting thing because they've been frozen. The federal government provides a lot of funding through Medicare for these residency slots, and the number of residency slots funded by Medicare has been frozen for about 17 years now. Medicaid, through the state, does provide some funding, but from what I understand in talking to the Hospital Association and others, is that there are actually a sufficient number of residencies right now, slots that are actually available. Things like the GME funding, the graduate medical education funding from the state, it's not been very consistent over the last few years. The hospitals can't rely on that funding. So even though they have a spot available, they might not be filling it because there's not a guarantee that they'll be able to fund that position for the duration of a student's residency. But then the other issue, too, is residency slots, having them available for certain fields, is that sufficient to incentivize medical students to go into a field? I don't think that the evidence shows that it is. So if we have more primary care residency slots, unless there's such a huge shortage in specialty residency slots, I don't think that medical students are going to move into primary care as a second choice. There needs to be other mechanisms available there to incentivize medical students to really want to go into primary care residencies to begin with. And then if they choose that, to obviously make sure that there are sufficient numbers of residency slots and that they are well-funded and that the teaching hospitals can count on that funding going forward.
And the incentive you're talking about there is that doctors who have a specialty tend to be better paid than primary care doctors. Is that what you're getting at there? That if a student is looking ahead and saying, I got to pay back loans, or perhaps I'm just someone who really wants to make a good living doing this, that they're more likely to focus on a specialty rather than being a primary care doctor?
Physician compensation is a huge motivation. The loans certainly play a role in it. In 2014, the average student loan debt for a medical student was $176,000. That plays a role, but I think a lot of these medical students are taking a long-term vision and realizing that they might have to really buckle down and pay down their debt over the first 10 years after they graduate medical school. But they're really seeing that having almost twice as much compensation on an annual basis by going into specialty care is a better long-run tool. To go into primary care, one of the incentives that the state has in place and working with the federal government are loan forgiveness programs. And these don't seem to be very effective in actually incentivizing students to go into primary care. And I think it's because students are taking a long-term view of this and saying, I'd rather earn twice as much over the course of my career rather than pay off my debt more quickly.
Is there another way to get at compensation then that can equalize in some way the number of students going into primary care, and also perhaps nudging those students in some way to set up in some of these underserved areas?
Well, one of the ways to get students to set up in these underserved areas is simply to make or give them opportunities to be exposed to these communities in the rural areas and serving underserved communities. And that's an opportunity that medical school, they can do in medical school or through their residency. So that's certainly a state action. In terms of compensation, state-level policy, increasing the Medicaid reimbursement rate would certainly help. A lot of primary care physicians see a greater percentage of Medicaid patients than other specialties. If the state led by example and moved toward payment systems that pay for value over volume, that would sort of close the compensation gap between primary care physicians and specialty physicians. But a lot of the compensation issues are in the hospitals, what they're willing to pay for certain types of doctors. And there's only so much the state level can really do about that. It really takes a lot of work from all different types of stakeholders. And certainly hospitals are invested in getting more medical students and residents into primary care, but it really takes a lot of collaboration from all stakeholders in all areas to address the compensation problem.
Looking ahead, Nicole, if this trend continues to play out the way it has so far, are we looking at a point where there will be people in Michigan who have relatively little trouble finding a doctor? The primary care doctors will be in their area, they'll have set up shop, they'll probably have their pick, and then there will be people in areas of the state who will have to make some difficult choices about how far they're willing to travel or other such things to see a primary care doctor. Is that the way this looks right now, absent any big policy changes?
It does seem to be that way. The aging population is a huge factor in that we have baby boom generation that's going to soon be needing about twice as many services from primary care physicians. The aging population also means that there's a large number of active physicians currently who are looking at retirement in the next 1 to 10 years. A 2012 survey said that 46% of active physicians are looking to retire within the next 1 to 10 years because of their age. And access to primary care physicians will be compromised unless they have a pipeline of new students entering that, and that just doesn't seem to be the case. I think about a decade ago, there's a third of medical students weren't in primary care physician field, and now it's about a quarter that are graduating. So certainly, it's setting itself up to be a huge problem.
Nicole Bradshaw, thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Nicole Bradshaw is a research associate for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. The report called Where Are the Primary Care Doctors? A Look at Michigan's Primary Care Physician Shortage can be found at crcmich.org. There's also a link at wmuk.org.